Therefore, we're going to committee item number four, land acquisition, Valverde County, Devil's River Ranch. Therefore, I'd like to announce that pursuant to the requirements of Chapter 551, Government Code, referred to as the Open Meetings Act, an executive session will be held at this time for the purpose of deliberation of real estate matters under Section 551.072 of the Texas Open Meetings Act, seeking legal advice from the General Counsel under Section 551.071 of the Open Meetings Act, and deliberation regarding a prospective gift as a donation to the department under Section 551.073 of the Open Meetings Act. We will now recess for executive session. Thank you.
I think we've got everybody. Looks like, yeah. This time we will reconvene the regular session of the commission meeting. Item number four is an action item, land acquisition, Valverde County, Devil's River Ranch. Mr. Scott Bohr, please make your presentation.
I don't have my screen up here.
Commissioners, my name is Scott Bohr, Deputy Executive Director for Operations, and I'm here today to talk to you about the Devil's River Ranch acquisition. Before I start on the PowerPoint, I'd just like to reiterate and remind you and the audience that we came to you in November with a proposal to swap the Devil's River State Natural Area for the Devil's River Ranch and $8 million in cash. The commission at that point, in the wake of the public feedback, which I will describe in a minute, asked us to go back and look at several issues related to the Devil's River. And I could synopsize those in four categories. The first was for us to go back and take a comprehensive look at that river and our stewardship of it, and to come back to this commission with a proposal about how we were going to take care of this river and its surrounds out into the future. The second was for us to try to figure out a way to do that without divesting ourselves of the state natural area as it exists today. You also ask us to be sure that we cast a broad net and include our constituents and the public in that process. And to that end, we have put together and are about to launch a Devil's River Recreational Working Group, which will include landowners, paddlers, anglers, and our staff to look at the use of that river and how to increase responsibly its access to the public and at the same time take care of the river. And then last but not least, of course, to look at increased law enforcement along that river to ensure that the rules are abided by. You also ask us to try to take a look at ways we could implement a new acquisition there without increasing the financial burden, at least for the next two or three years, on our existing state park system. So those were the four or five main elements that you ask us to take a look at. And that was in the wake of public comment that had run heavily against the swap of the state natural area for the Devil's River Ranch. That public comment that was about 90% negative, and it was several hundred written comments, the largest majority of those negative comments had to do with removing the state natural area from the Parks and Wildlife inventory. So really the bulk of the comments were that there was a concern that the removal of the state natural area would limit river access for the paddling community, because that state natural area is one, if not the only, available camping spot for folks paddling the upper stretch of the river. We also had significant concern from the environmental and conservation community about just the idea of getting rid of state natural areas, which are very important natural and cultural features that many felt needed to stay in the public domain and not be moved into the private domain. The second largest group of concerns that were written in the first round were the shortness of the process. So we had a lot of folks that commented that they hadn't had time to digest the proposal, to do a due diligence and analysis of it, and get back to the commission with more in-depth comments. So we brought those concerns to you also. The third category of negative comments, or comments opposed to the swap, had to do with folks' concern about increased public access to the river and the negative impact that might have on the river. And then last but not least, the last category of concerns were how we're going to manage this financially as we move out into the future. And I talked a little bit about your direction to us to look at that as we went back to repackage this proposal. So that's the context in which I'm here today to visit with you about the new Devil's River Ranch acquisition proposal. You see it on your screen here. I'm going to pause for a moment occasionally on some of these pictures for the benefit of those members of the public that may be out in the audience and have not had the benefit of being out here. Pictures do speak a thousand words. I will remind the commission and the public that this Devil's River Ranch has 10 miles of Devil's River frontage, that the there is a strict conservation easement on this piece of property which prohibits subdivision and major development. There are really fairly new, well-constructed, modern structures out there that will give us a lot of options as we move forward, since we will not be building a significant new large structures out there under the old conservation easement. Access to this property is very good, particularly as it's compared to the state natural area. The roads to get there and the internal roads have been well maintained. There are significant cultural and natural resources there. The current owner has done a very good job of taking care of the natural resources there, has removed over half a million invasive junipers from that property in the last 8 years, as one example of many of the examples of natural resource management that owner has committed to. The staff believes this will provide some incredible primitive camping opportunities. The landscape, in addition to the river, is quite spectacular. It is characterized by lots of topography and lots of opportunities to have a wilderness camping opportunity. And indeed, it is adjacent to the Amistad National Recreation Area, and we see this as just increasing and enhancing the recreational opportunities along the Devil's River. This proposed acquisition is almost 18,000 acres in Valverde County. You can see on the map where that is. Here's a little bit more detailed map. The green polygon is the existing Devil's River State Natural Area. The yellow polygon is the Devil's River Ranch proposed acquisition. There's about almost 14 miles of river that runs between those two pieces of property. So the new property, we had several goals per your direction. The first was to acquire this ranch outright without swapping the state natural area, and we think we have a proposal that meets that criteria. We believe that this property would be best managed as a unit of the Devil's River State Natural Area. We have not decided what we would propose its name would be, but we do think managing it as a complex makes a lot of sense out there, two units connected by the Devil's River. And we do think that it's very important that we go through a comprehensive and inclusive master planning process before we open this to the public that will probably take in the range of 2.5 years. So those are the major proponents of the proposal we bring to you today. This map is a little more detailed map that shows you the only only public access to the river up at the Baker's Crossing towards the upper end of this map. I'm not going to dwell on the map a lot, but it shows you some of the properties as we move along down the river, including the property owned by the Nature Conservancy, adjacent to or across the river from, at least, the existing state natural area. And just to remind you, the Nature Conservancy currently manages the conservation easements on both the state natural area and the Devil's River Ranch, and will continue to manage those regardless of what this commission decides today. We decided to go ahead and put a definition of state natural area in here as we did public meetings around the state. Oftentimes we were asked, what's the difference in a state park and a state natural area? Most folks are pretty familiar with what a state park does, so we thought we'd take the opportunity to put this language out of our code up here for you and for the public to see. It essentially defines a state natural area as those who are primarily created to protect the stewardship and steward the natural and cultural resources of a piece of property, and that also allow appropriate, responsible public use that isn't detrimental or harmful to that particular property. So it's a matter of focus, to answer the folks that have asked that question. This is another one of the pictures, more from down at ground level of the river. This river has some incredible biodiversity. It is the convergence of three ecoregions: the Tamaulipan Brushland, Edwards Plateau, and Chihuahuan Desert. There are rare flora and fauna there that this agency has worked with for many years. We see a very real opportunity to increase the research along the river as a result of this potential acquisition. There are also incredible archaeological resources on this piece of property, as there are all up and down the Devil's River. There are world-class rock art sites, and once again, we will be involved, should the Commission approve this project, in moving forward with trying to identify the extent and the nature of those cultural resources. This is just a small example of some of the rock art that is seen on the property. We clearly think that if the Commission approves this acquisition, we will be able to increase responsible and appropriate access to the river. We are totally committed, absolutely and totally committed, to preserving the wild and pristine nature of this river experience. We do think it will add significant opportunities for families to participate in this wonderful natural resource. The existing state natural area is much more difficult to get to and access. We believe that probably one of the outfalls of our master planning and public use plan would be an increased opportunity for families and youth to be able to come out and responsibly enjoy this property and to learn about natural resources and their preservation and conservation. We were asked at the public meetings, is this a replicative process? Are we going to be doing the same things here that people already get to do on the Amistad Lake? And the answer, in our opinion, is no. It's going to be an additive process. We think the public will be able to enjoy different kinds of aquatic experiences here, canoeing and kayaking being a primary example that isn't practiced much on lakes in around Texas, particularly this lake, a lot of wind effect. The types of fishing tend to be quite different on this river than they are out in the open lake. And for those of you that haven't been there, we'd really encourage you to come out, because there is incredible opportunity to have backcountry camping and other kinds of recreational experiences, horseback riding, hiking, camping, and those kinds of things that very much make you feel like you're in a wilderness setting. As I mentioned before, the infrastructure that is already in place will be very conducive to us doing outreach and education vis-a-vis our mission. This happens to be a shot from one of the taller cliffs or features along the river that allows you to see down into the river. You can actually, from several hundred feet up on this ledge, count the fish in the river. That's how clear the water is there. We are totally committed as an agency to protecting the water quality there. This is the body of water that is used by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality to measure water quality in other water bodies around the state. So it is the standard, and we intend to keep it that way. You ask us to go back and look at ways to acquire this property without the trade. And I will say, in less than 2 months, 6 or 7 weeks, under the leadership of Commissioner Hughes and Mr. Smith, we have raised an additional $8.1 million in less than 2 months. You might recall we already had a $2 million commitment from a private donor under the old proposal. Under the new proposal, Commissioner Hughes and Mr. Smith have been able to lead the effort to raise $8.1 additional dollars for a total of $10.1 million in private donations and pledges to this project, which will allow us then to not only have the funds to purchase the property, should you decide that's what you want us to do, but to also fund operations for at least 2.5 years without taking money from the state park system or draining money off of other sites. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. You can see here that the purchase of the appraisal for this property was $15.875 million. In addition to those individuals that have ponied up their $10.1 million, the current owner has agreed to a discount sale of $13 million of this piece of property. So the property's valued at $15.875. The sales price is $13 million. There's $2.7 million in state acquisition funds, $1.3 million in federal land and water funds, and the remaining $9 million will come from the $10.1 million in private donations and pledges that I described earlier. All of these dollars are restricted for acquisition and development. There again, development's a relative term here because of the conservation easement. They cannot be used, with the exception of the private money, the public money, the 2.7 and the $1.3 million cannot be used for anything other than acquisition. The $10.1 million that has been donated to the project are in the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, and they are dedicated exclusively for the use in this project for acquisition and ongoing support of operations. I did want to point out, because we had this question asked by the public many times, were we overpaying or what was the reasonable contribution of the infrastructure on the Devil's River Ranch to the appraisal. The contributory factor was about $1.2 million for the infrastructure. We believe, we've had our folks look at this, we believe we could not replace this infrastructure for anywhere near $1.2 million. So we think we're getting an additional deal out of this and getting facilities that really exceed our norm. Additionally, the owner has agreed to donate all the furnishings and rolling stock at the ranch, which really essentially means this is a turnkey deal that will not require the State Parks Division to outfit this property. So all the furniture, the appliances, the road graders, the blinds, and those kinds of things are being donated in addition to the $3 million discount or $2.8 million discount sale. And as I've mentioned a couple of times, very importantly, the additional private funds over and above the $9 million, which at this point are $1.1 million, will go to offset operations for at least the first 2.5 years of operations.
Scott, I'm not meaning to interrupt you, but up above you kind of said cannot be used for operations, repairs, or maintenance, and then you just said the 1.1 was before operations. It's really for the master planning. Why don't you explain that a little bit so people don't get confused?
I left that a little unclear. I wanted to say is that the 2.7 in state dollars and the 1.3 million in federal dollars are specifically for acquisition. The $10.1 million that have been raised due to this recent fundraising effort are dedicated to the project and can be used for acquisition and master planning and for some small operational issues. We still have to pay the electric bill out there, for example, and those kinds of things. And so we are not going to open this property to the public for 2.5 years, and so there will not be a lot of operational expenses, but there may be some minor operational expenses. We're going to, for example, have to do a little maintenance in the meantime. We don't want that property to deteriorate. We're going to have to go out there and replace some screens occasionally and those kinds of things. So that's what that money is for. Any other questions there? I did want to throw in a couple of non-river pictures. I mean, the Devil's River is the defining icon for this particular piece of property, but it is a beautiful piece of property in its totality. There is a wonderful coverage out there from a habitat perspective, a lot of wildlife. And if approved, this is what we would do next. If the commission decides to approve this acquisition, we would do two things. First of all, as I said, we would consider this to be a complex. We would move out immediately and start the master planning process for the complex and how we're going to use it. We would start with some baseline inventories that clearly tell us what's out there in terms of the natural and cultural resources. We have a little bit of knowledge about that, but we have not done a comprehensive baseline study. We would begin a comprehensive and inclusive public use planning process where we would bring in our friends and constituents and the users of the river to help us talk through and think through how we want to put together the public use plan for that property, when folks should come, how they should be supervised, and how we should place them across the landscape in order to ensure its protection. We would create a development plan. Remember, once again, under the auspices of the conservation easement, the development plan would be limited to minor, relatively minor development issues such as campsites and roads and those kinds of things. We would be looking at future staffing needs and those things under that development plan. We would be putting together a comprehensive interpretive plan. This area is not only a beautiful natural and cultural resource, it really is the epicenter of the mohair industry in Texas out there, and it has a pretty incredible history relative to that industry. We will be trying to help interpret that industry in the context of these pieces of property. So in summary, number one, I just wanted to let you know the staff, not only in this project, but every project, is very diligent about making sure that what we bring to you fits and comports with the Land and Water Resources Conservation and Recreation Plan. We believe this does. It will remain in a conservation easement in perpetuity, which protects it. We will go through a comprehensive, inclusive master planning process to make sure when we do open this thing up in two and a half or 3 years that it's well thought through and that we do not allow this to negatively impact those resources. We are ready to name the working group that's going to help us think through the river-based issues, and that will include landowners from along the Devil's River. We'll include the paddling community and the angling community, as well as our staff. We have those recommendations ready for the chairman to approve as soon as he so desires, and we would hope to begin that process in late January with the first meeting. We would probably have four or five meetings over the next year in which that users group gives us feedback that would then dovetail with the master planning process for the entirety of the complex. We have currently, thanks to Colonel Flores and his staff, put in place an increased law enforcement plan that will put more law enforcement officers on the ground and water on the Devil's River and its surrounds immediately. I will reemphasize that this is, in our opinion, the staff's opinion, a wonderful example of a successful public-private venture that has raised $10.1 million in private money to match against $4 million in public money to make this possible. I would also be very remiss if I didn't point out that there have been a lot of people that have spent a lot of time making this successful that are behind the scenes, many of them in this room. We have division directors like Pete Flores and Lydia Saldana that have worked hard to make different components of this project come together. Brent Leisure and State Parks as the new State Parks Director and his predecessor, Walt Dabney. Ted Hollingsworth, our Director of Land Conservation, has spent many, many, many hours helping us get this project put together. And believe me, there were lots of little kinks along the way that Ted and Jeannie Munoz out of the Project Management Office helped us get resolved. I'm sure I'm forgetting many. I just wanted to be sure that the Commission understood this has been a complex and comprehensive process for the staff, but also one that we're very proud to bring to the Commission. With that, I would take questions.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate the presentation, and we do have public comments and questions. But first, from the Commission, any questions or comments at this time? Commissioner Duggan.
Scott, what is the estimated value of the personal property that the prospective seller has agreed to include at no additional cost?
We don't have that figure yet, Commissioner. What we've done is we've gone out and taken a comprehensive inventory, and we've asked a group that does these kinds of things professionally to go out and look at those, and we have the inventory in hand. We will be doing that appraisal in the next month or so.
Well, what kinds of items, though, are in the personal property?
Couches, chairs, tables, refrigerators, it's all the furnishings in these facilities that are there right now. By and large, the owner's going to take his mounts and some things like that. But really, if you approve this acquisition, it's going to be turnkey. We'll be able to walk in there, beds, linens.
What about equipment?
Yes, the equipment that's there, things like road graders and water trucks and ranch pickup trucks, those kinds of things will be there.
So it's not insubstantial?
No, sir. I suspect it's going to be several hundred thousands of dollars.
Okay. My next question is, will the public use plan address protection of the historical and cultural sites?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. That is one of our prime focuses.
And then my last question is, will the Devil's River Working Group serve in an advisory capacity, is that right?
Yes, sir, that's correct. They will advise the staff, and then ultimately we will be passing that on to the leadership here about their recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions or comments from the Commission at this time? Okay, Scott, thank you. And we do have public questions and comments. And the way I'll do it is I'll call out the first individual, then I'll call the second name so that you can be ready to come up. Do you want to go ahead and explain again about the timing and how it works with the light and all that, just in case?
Yeah, Mr. Smith. Excellent, Mr. Chairman. Just as a reminder, when you're called up, if you'll come forward to the mic, please state your name and who you represent. You'll have 3 minutes to address the commission. The green light will signify go. The yellow means that you've got 30 seconds to wind this up, and red means stop if you could. So that'll be the protocol.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Smith. I like that, if you could. Sometimes I have a hard time with that, too. First person up, and I may mispronounce names. I apologize if I do. Paula Phillips, and on standby, Douglas Cameron.
Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Paula Phillips, and I lived and worked at Devil's River State Natural Area for 12 years. I have a basic understanding how the department uses its funds and budgets. The idea of a complex can work, but it's imperative that both of the parks be adequately staffed. Devil's River has 1 mile of river frontage with only 2 employees to patrol the 19,000 acres in the river, and that's never been enough. Many times we never knew that someone had come down the river until the next day when we found their fires and their trash and their toilet paper. Devil's River Ranch has 10 miles of river frontage, and what scenarios does that present? And it's really crucial that people feel safe at both parks. The existing state natural area has so much more to offer than people realize, but the funding has never been there to implement the changes to enhance the outdoor experience. I hope that the money will be there now to improve the natural area, and that it is that they're not funneled off to Devil's River Ranch when crunch time comes. Access to Devil's River State Natural Area has always been an adventure, but places that are hard to get to are usually worth the trouble. There are many folks who see the difficulties getting to the park as a challenge and not a hindrance. The department can offset that by thinking and planning differently than in the past. Moderate changes can attract more hikers, backpackers, photographers, artists, stargazers, birders, and others who will be more inclined to help protect the resources. The biggest benefit, I believe, is being able to go to places like the State Natural Area and Devil's River Ranch to find quiet and a place of solitude. And I hope that the department will really consider going green as much as possible with both areas. The complex could be a model for other parks around the country to follow, and this is a rare opportunity to demonstrate that Parks and Wildlife can be at the forefront of bold and innovative planning. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Phillips. And this has been an eye-opener relative to the state natural area also. And, of course, Scott talked about Colonel Flores already kind of upping some of the law enforcement needs out there and that kind of thing. And that's why we believe that the right way, but again, we're going to ask the advisory group that we put together to help us understand, but it makes sense to try to operate these together and then figure out how to tie it all together. But we've got a ways to go on that. But thank you very much for your comments. Question, sure.
Ms. Phillips, may I suggest that you submit whatever your proposed changes are the changes that you believe are appropriate to the working group for their consideration?
Yes, sir. I've been in contact with David Riskin, and he has asked me for my recommendations for improvements to Devil's State Ranch, the natural area, and so I will be doing that. Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Phillips. Any other questions from the commissioner? Thank you very much. Douglas Cameron up, and Carl Tief next.
My name is Dougal Cameron, and I'm Devil's River Association. I'm also with our family a landowner up near Baker's Crossing, and I'm here to, I guess I should say first, we are grateful and thankful that the Texas Parks and Wildlife collaborated with us, communicated with us, and we appreciate that. And the main thing that we're concerned about is the amount of trespassing that's occurred on private property. And so we want to advocate, encourage as intense an amount of enforcement as possible. We would love to cooperate if it were possible to have a permitting process on this river. I think we all like responsible paddlers, but we've seen a lot of irresponsible paddlers and a lot of trespassers. So we appreciate all that's been said, and we hope to be involved and continue to be helpful in your process, and appreciate it.
Wonderful. Thank you for your comments. And again, any written feedback you want to give us, or verbal, whatever, please get it to us as we put this advisory group together. Carl Taff.
Carl Taff's my name.
And next up after that would be David Honeycutt.
Thank you a lot for having us this morning. I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate the job y'all do. And Scott has done a very good job of keeping us informed of what's going on between the state and us, me being a landowner down there on the Devil's River. He kind of pointed out to us that us landowners that's been there for 50 years are kind of selfish about that river, because he did it tactfully. He didn't come right out and call it bigger, but he did it pretty tactfully. But that is a true fact. We don't want anybody down there because it's a beautiful place, and that's the reason it's still beautiful today. But I think he's put together a program that us landowners can live with. I think he's done an excellent job. Y'all ought to be proud of Scott, because I was adamantly against this from the beginning. But as time goes on, we kind of let things go, and we learn from other things. And I know this is a rare opportunity for y'all to acquire a place like this on Devil's River. And if you don't do it, you're crazy. It's a beautiful place. It is gorgeous. My only concern is that y'all take care of it. We do not want to have another Garner Park down there. And I think most of you know what that is. And that's really, I think you're going to have to go into permitting and all this stuff. It's going to be a problem. It's going to take a lot of staff, and I hope y'all donate or come up with the funds to get this to get this going and keep it going. And let's see here, what else did I have to talk about? I guess that's it. I appreciate the opportunity of talking to y'all. Thank you.
Thank you. And certainly, that's one of the reasons we're putting this advisory group together. Secondly, taking the time to do the master plan. So, as we understand the feelings of the landowners around that area, and we obviously understand this is one of the true last wilderness areas. And with the advisory group, certainly plan on doing it the right way. David Honeycutt, and then after
Honeycutt.
That, sorry, and Norman Farmer up next. David?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Carter, I'm David Honeycutt. I am a landowner on the Devil's River. Carter asked me to say a few words this morning. I kind of tiled this turning what I thought was a bad deal into a really good one. The Devil's River Ranch was a good opportunity, but I felt like it wasn't a good opportunity as it was currently constructed. It required a trade of the state natural, the Devil's River natural area, and a state park concept was being contemplated on the Devil's River Ranch. The Devil's River State Natural Area was being used as currency for the acquisition, and I thought that was a bad deal. You're trading away the most important spring resource along the river. You were trading away the second largest state natural area in Texas. I felt the conservation language was not strong enough to prevent harvesting of the groundwater resource, potentially from water pirates in the future. You were trading away ingress and egress point for a recreation substream. And the Devil's River State Natural Area had never been given the financial resources that were originally promised back in 1988 when it was acquired. What was not being done in addition was the river was not being protected, access was being taken away, resources of Texas Parks and Wildlife Department were being spread even thinner, and Texas Parks and Wildlife's net acreage footprint was being lessened on the river. And the real question was why. And I went and met with Carter, and I could tell that he had a strong conviction in getting this deal done. And I had strong conviction in terms of my opposition. But once we calmed down and started talking about it, what it really boiled down to was about money. It wasn't about who loved the river more. I couldn't argue that I loved the Devil's River more than Carter or he to me. So I went away and thought to myself, I can either be a bearer to trade here and be an obstacle or maybe figure out a way to try to help. So what it really came down to is, what would you do if you had enough money? And the answer was that you would try to keep the Devil's River State Natural Area and make those original improvements on that property that were originally contemplated, have potable water, improve the roads, have more than 7 campsites on 20,000 acres of land, and go ahead and acquire the Devil's River Ranch and not plan an overly intensive use to fund it. Hire more park wardens to enforce protection of the river and rights of private property owners. Control access on the river. Protect archaeological sites. Develop a comprehensive plan for river management that considers all stakeholders. And protect the river for future generations. Well, how did we get there? Well, the answer was a private sector initiative, a public-private joint venture in this historic land conservation opportunity we had. In other words, raise enough money to acquire the Devil's River Ranch for cash. And I might add that Rod Sanders is the largest philanthropist in regards to this trade. I'm sure that his total contribution with his reduction in his price and all the equipment and accoutrements to the property are close to $4 million in value. Raise enough money to fund additional parks and wildlife staff. Raise enough money to allow a patient plan to develop for development and use of Devil's River. And then last, form a task force for all stakeholders to develop a comprehensive plan for river management protection. Well, that's where we are today. And we have a lot of great people that have stepped forward to make this a reality. Now, we have a lot more work to do. We need to figure out a solution with Baker's Crossing. We need to do the real improvements on the Devil's River State Natural Area. And we need to have a proper plan for the Devil's River Ranch. And for all of us that are for this project, the most important thing we can do is help Texas Parks and Wildlife be successful. Because if we do this, this is the template for other opportunities that will come down the road, and this will clearly have to be the way we accomplish some of the things we want to do to protect those special places in Texas. Thank you.
Well, David, thank you for your comments. I also I hope I don't embarrass you, but David not only went from being against this project, particularly the land swap, and as many others did, and of course he's a landowner out there and a neighbor, not only turned around, but he is one of the contributors on the financial side. So I want to thank you for that, David, and that's what's making this possible. So he and his family contributed a sizable amount to make this possible. So as they say in certain terms, he put his money where his mouth is once he came aboard. And of course, we'll want you involved with the task force and wherever else you want to be involved in helping us figure this out. And it's also why we're going to take the time and effort to get this right. And that's why we're talking about maybe not opening up for a couple of years as we master plan this and do this in a correct manner. Norman Farmer?
Norman Farmer.
And then next up after that, be prepared, Scott Parker. Norman?
My family is among the landowners on Devil's River, and I can add not a great deal to what others have said about the demands of that terrain, the uniqueness of the territory, and the difficulty that it poses for people who might want to use it in a recreational way. My principal concern, I think, has already been mentioned by several others, and that is with the influx of more and more people, many of whom are not as experienced as they might think they are in that kind of rugged terrain. Land owners are particularly concerned about the law enforcement. As you know, we already have significant law enforcement and border enforcement opportunities out there. And chiefly, my concern and our concern at the upper end of this is the access to the river at Baker's Crossing. It's a very narrow road. It's a good bridge going across it. But getting into the river is a little dicey for many people. And there is traffic, more and more of it. And as traffic increases, those of us who live along the river and in the river basin are beset with problems that come along with increased traffic. So I think one of the things that I would want to urge the commission to think about is the necessity for funding of appropriate law enforcement. I can't stress how crucial that is, because even as we are right now, we have traffic coming down 163, which goes right through us to Jarrett Juneau Ranch. And that traffic is sometimes pretty inquisitive. We have our locks, all of our locks are zeroed out. Our hunters are instructed to zero them out. Invariably, we come back and find that the locks have been fiddled with. People have tried them. I don't think any of them have gotten in, but it's certainly not for trying. So in closing, I'd like to emphasize the law enforcement as a significant component of this project. Thank you very much for your attention.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Farmer. And next up, Scott Parker. Behind him, Trey Carrington.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Mr. Smith. I'm Scott Parker with the Trust for Public Land in Texas, the Senior Program Director for the Trust for Public Land. We're a national nonprofit land conservation organization. We work with federal, state, local public agencies, community groups, and land trusts, all towards the same purpose of conserving land for people. TPL has been in Texas since 1989. We've had the privilege of working with Parks and Wildlife many times in the past. Most recently, we've worked with TPWD at Fortress Cliffs at Palo Duro Canyon. The proposed acquisition of the Devil's River Ranch and the process that is surrounding it may permit the public to responsibly, and I emphasize responsibly, enjoy, appreciate, and relate to this remarkable property and its natural and cultural resources. This is, in effect, TPL's mission of conserving land for people made tangible by Parks and Wildlife. Based on the information that's been provided to all of us to date and the assurances that we've received by Parks and Wildlife staff to appropriately manage and protect, and again emphasize, manage and protect the resources of the Devil's River Ranch as described by Mr. Boroff this morning, the Trust for Public Land supports the proposed acquisition of the property, and we stand ready to assist Parks and Wildlife in any way that we can, if so needed. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Trey Carrington up next, and behind him, Aaron Wortham. I think I'm saying that right.
Good morning. My name is Trey Carrington. I'm a camper. I represent myself and my girlfriend, Kay. Been kind of a minority here. Welcome. Thank you for having us here, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
Commission. Mr. Smith. Very excited about this project, about the acquisition. I was very concerned that we may swap the Devil's River State Natural Area for a new area, different water. And that comes from my experience camping there and spending time down at the river. And I really appreciate, after going through these meetings and the work that y'all have done, particularly the work that Scott has done, rolling up your sleeves and finding a doable, workable plan. Very grateful for that. I'm very, very passionate about the existing park and the springs there, as I understand it, and I've learned through these meetings that roughly 80% of the water that goes down the Devil's River to Amistad comes from the existing state natural area. In working forward on this, I hope that the department continues to be committed to the Devil's River and committed to the existing state natural area and those springs. The value of those springs is paramount, and I think it's an asset that the state must not lose control over. Again, I want to thank you all for working, and I want to thank all the donors, too, that have come forward to make this existing agreement work. Thanks again. Merry Christmas.
Sure. Thank you. Aaron Wertheim up, and Mark McCord after that.
Good morning. My name is Aaron Wertheim, Texan, and in favor of the deal. I'm also the acting president of the Texas Cave Management Association. We were generally in favor of the swap beforehand. This sounds like a fantastic deal. The TCMA owns, manages, and preserves caves and karst features around the entire state. We own several here in Austin as well, Whirlpool Cave, Godwin Ranch Preserve, Lost Oasis, and we own Ezell's Cave in San Marcos, which is the window into the aquifer, where we work with the Edwards Aquifer Authority to make sure that the cave and the endangered species are protected. We understand there are a variety of karst and cave resources on the proposed acquisition, as well as the SNA, that we're concerned about and their preservation. And our board of directors, overwhelmingly in favor of the deal, would like to express our willingness to help in this deal, that we stand ready to help locate, explore, document, preserve some of these features in any way that TPWD and the superintendent feel are in the best interest of the property. And do you all have any questions about how else we may be able to help you guys do preservation activities in addition, besides meeting with the task force? I just wanted to make sure that it's clear that as conservationists, we understand that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. A lot of people have expressed concerns about resources, availability of personnel, but that teaching people how to locate or how to preserve these important resources is better than cleaning up after them in the long run. So thank you for your time.
Sure. Thank you. Mark McCord up, and Thomas Taylor on standby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, Mr. Smith, for this opportunity to be here to talk to you today. My name is Mark McCord. I'm the past Environmental Committee Chairman and current webmaster of Dallas Downriver Club. I'm an avid whitewater and expedition paddler, and I'm someone who has paddled the Devil's River on many occasions and thoroughly enjoy the opportunity of that beautiful river that's like no other in the state of Texas. I'm very heartened to hear not only this new proposal that you all put together, because like others, I was adamantly opposed to the original swap. I'm also very happy to hear that landowners and us share almost the exact same concerns about every bit of this. Most of us who are serious paddlers do not want to paddle in a dump ground, and we don't want to camp in a dump ground. And so we encourage environmental protection and environmental integrity, and we certainly respect private land ownership and oppose trespassing on that private land. So we agree with the idea of more law enforcement to enforce existing laws while at the same time protecting the laws of paddlers. Everything that this plan that you've put together here suggests to me is a very good plan that benefits everybody. I do want to make sure you understand that this river is never going to be a river where the vast majority of the people on it are extreme recreational paddlers. The river is just too tough. And anybody that's paddled this river knows that the closer you get to Lake Amistad, and sometimes when you put in at Baker's Crossing, you encounter headwinds that are ferocious and are actually, in some cases, dangerous to people that are not good paddlers. So I would encourage you to think about the fact that this is never going to become a major, it's not going to become to canoeing or anything, kayaking, what the Lower Guadalupe is to tubers. Those of us who go there and respect and honor this river will do our best to always clean up behind ourselves, and we'll take out trash that other people leave when we find it, because we don't want it there either. But I do want to thank you for taking the opportunity to listen to our concerns and for coming up with a new plan that we think is very good. And I can assure you, most of the members of Dallas Downriver Club and the other paddling clubs around the state will be in complete support of your approval of this plan. Thank you for the opportunity to meet with you today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your comments. Thomas Taylor up, and then Michael, I don't know if it's Lewis, if I'm mispronouncing, or Lucas, anyway.
Lewis.
Tom Taylor.
Yes, Tom Taylor. I'm from the Dallas Downriver Club. I'm the current environmental chairperson. This is a great deal. We really... This looks like it's really going to be a wonderful deal when we get it put together, and we stand behind it as it stands right now. Also, we have a standing invitation to all of you to come out and paddle this river with us so you can see it and see it from our perspective, and we would like to get the landowners in on this event also, so we can kind of all discuss, you know, what the problems are and where we think it needs to go to make it an acceptable solution for everyone.
Wonderful. Thank you. Michael, Luis, I think, and then T.J. Jarrett after that.
Hi, my name is Mike Liggs. I'm here as a landowner. I own about 2.25 miles of the Devil's River. I'm between the Simpson and the Jarrett property, basically in the vicinity of Baker's Crossing. Also, as a side note, my professional life is conservation full-time. I have been involved in my firm, Land, Water, Sky, for about 10 years, during which time we've protected over 300,000 acres in Texas, and I have sold approximately 150,000 acres personally in the Devil's River watershed. Every bit of my net worth is tied up on the Devil's River. When I first bought my property, my son and I went and sat in the dirt so that we could be at the Devil's River. I've had the opportunity over the last 2 years to consult on a pro bono basis with Parks and Wildlife. We have flown thousands of miles for you guys. I remember finally working with Commissioner Bivens on the expansion of Palo Duro. I've been involved directly in the expansion of the Lost Maples State Natural Area. What I want to talk about is law enforcement. The need for public access open space is critical. Future generations of Texans cannot vote and pay or tax themselves to defend things that they do not understand. The critical link for conservation is public access open space. But putting two parks on a 60-mile live water segment poses certain problems, and you will stimulate with this deal a demand for access that is beyond healthy for the aquatic system. So there must be some means of constricting the natural demand that takes place, and the only way that I see that that can be done is through some form of a permitting process that limits in an appropriate way the access. There should be an educational component of that. People should be required to have a minimum level of safety equipment. People should be on a permitting or reservation basis so that they are not conjuring up the notion of paddling the Devil's River on Thursday night and arriving on Friday morning without a way to get all the way to the first of the two state natural areas, which forces a trespass issue. So I stand in loud support of this outstanding deal. I'm very familiar with the architects of the deal, and I believe that this is absolutely correct for Texas. But I caution you, it is much easier to fundraise for land than for law enforcement. If this deal goes through and there is not a companion commitment to law enforcement, the river itself could be lost in the balance. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good comments, yeah. Mr. Jarrett, and then Ken Kramer up after that.
My name is T.J. Jarrett, and I have lived
for the better part of 70 years on or near the Devil's River. My grandfather purchased this ranch in 1927 with over 11 miles of riverfront. What we need today is a permitting process for canoeists and kayakers to protect the public, the landowners, and the river, and to prevent the Devil's River from becoming another Guadalupe or Frio River. Your responsibility is threefold: to the public, one; two, to protect private property rights; and three, to protect the river. The right decision is to protect Devil's River first. We humans are here only for a short while in the historical perspective, and the Devil's River has endured throughout history, but its essential pristine qualities will fade quickly without some proper management. The permitting process for the paddling public seems to be a sensible solution. The permitting process would protect the public in that they would have a definite place to put in and take out without trespassing on private property. The private property owner would be better protected in that he would not have people invading his property, trashing his land, breaking into structures, and starting fires. And the river would be protected by somewhat limiting the public use of it to protect the ecosystem. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good comments. Ken Kramer up, and James McBee on standby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Commission, Carter. For the record, I'm Ken Kramer, representing Lone Star Chapter of the Sierra Club, and I'm very happy to be able to stand in front of you today and say Sierra Club strongly supports the acquisition of the Devil's River Ranch as proposed and the retention of the Devil's River State Natural Area. We consider this to be a very important and in many ways historic holiday gift for the people of Texas. I'm going to leave it up to Santa Claus to determine whether or not the process has been best characterized as naughty or nice to get to this point. But I do want to say that we very much appreciate your responsiveness to the public input and to the public outpouring of support for the protection of the Devil's River and retention of the Devil's River Natural Area. I think it really demonstrates your flexibility and your willingness to go the extra mile to do what's best for the people of Texas and the natural resources of the state. For that, we very much appreciate your efforts. I do want to say that I think that we can work on some improvements to the public notice and the public participation process in land transactions, and Carter has asked Scott Boroff and myself to put our heads together after the first year to discuss some possible ways of addressing some concerns that were raised about the process early on, and we certainly will do that, and we'll come back to you with some ideas and look to make the process a better one for you and for the public. I really believe that the earlier we can involve the public in discussions of issues like this, and the more extensively we can involve the public, the better it will be for all of us. We'll have more of a buy-in from the public for the things that need to be done. We'll have more education and awareness by the public of the things that need to be done, and we'll have a better and smoother process for getting to the right conclusion. I do want to say in closing that, as several speakers have indicated, we know that the work is really only beginning in terms of protection of the Devil's River. And one of the great things about how this has come about and what has happened up to this point is that we really have increased the public awareness of the Devil's River, the need to protect it, and I think that will make people more likely to really dig in and do the work necessary to actually protect the river for the long term. I do want to say to everyone who's here, I think we have an ongoing obligation as members of the public, as people interested in the Devil's River, to make sure we support you as a commission and you as a department at the legislature and with other public officials to make sure the resources remain there after this initial foray that you can actually manage the property properly and for the benefit of the resource as well as the people. Thanks very much for all the effort that all of you put into this issue over the past several weeks.
Sure. Thank you, Ken. James McBee up next, and George Bristol on standby.
I have no comment, Mr. Chairman.
You sure?
Yes, sir. I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. James, I'm glad you're here, though. I appreciate you coming. George?
Do I get his 3 minutes, too?
I know you'd love to have him.
Mr. Chairman, members, Carter, thank you for this opportunity. As some of you know, with a great many questions and some trepidation, I supported the original deal. But it did have problems and caused heartburn. This is a great deal, and I want to speak on three different levels of why I think it is. Number one, this commission, as far as a public-private area, has never in the 10 years I've been working on conservation and parks had the opportunity to go through a real master planning process. And I think it not only benefits this particular project, but it will help you in the future know how to pull the pieces together. So that's a great benefit that will serve now and in later times. The second thing is that while I have advocated both at the national level and state level for more national funding for national parks and state funding for state parks, I've always considered the private-public partnership to be the best way to go. The Rockefellers and the Mellons and others taught us that with our national parks. So this quickly put together statewide fundraising deal, again, with a little thinking and a little planning and a better use of the Parks and Wildlife Foundation, you can do this time and time again. We did it at Government Canyon in San Antonio. You've done it this time. That doesn't mean the state ought to shirk its responsibility, and several people have spoken to that area, and that's the nice thing that I want to say is that as we put this together, we ought to use it with the help of everybody in this room who have talked about law enforcement and this and that. But those things cost money, and it's after this session, which will be brutal, we need to refocus on getting more money. And finally, I want to thank Carter and the staff for taking so much time to find a way to make this work to the approval of most in this room and out in the public. Thank you very much.
Thank you, George. That was our last public speaker. Anybody on the commission would like to make any comments? Yes, sir. Commissioner Duggins.
I just want to say for the record how much I admire and appreciate what Commissioner Hughes did here and what Carter Smith and Scott Borff and the staff have done here. It is just nothing short of extraordinary, and to me is a keen reflection of their strong commitment to this agency's mission. And without that, particularly done in such a short period of time, this would never have occurred. And I also want to say that I appreciate the very thoughtful comments from the speakers who are committed to the preservation of this unique resource, and I'm confident that this commission and the department heard your concerns and suggestions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other comments? Commissioner Hughes, would you like to say anything? Because I think everybody on this commission wants to thank you for what you've done in putting together the partnership and raising a bulk of the funds. I do want to again thank David Honeycutt, and he's been a big part of that. Mr. Rod Sanders, who's selling this property, has reduced the price dramatically, been a conservationist for many years. And there have been also, we have an anonymous giver who gave quite a bit of money. So it's all come together very quickly. But I really would, from the commission's point of view, Commissioner Hughes has driven this more than anybody. I would like to give him credit for that and see if you had anything to say, Dan.
Well, I'm glad I was able to be a part of it and help. After going out and looking at this property, it just became very apparent to me this is a great asset for the state of Texas to own, be a great asset for our citizens to go out and enjoy. And so I took it upon myself, contacted some friends, family members, and was able to put some funds together to help get this done. Again, I'm just glad I was able to be a part of it, and I think it's going to be a very good thing for the state of Texas.
Yeah, and I of course want to thank Carter and Scott and others have done that, but there's a quote here, and it's great. It's from Dan. It's a stunning piece of property with incredible potential. This is a quote from Dan, and when he saw it and came back, and of course some of you, a lot of obviously you that are here today live on the river or neighbors or certainly have paddled that river. It is a stunning and unique piece of property, certainly for the state of Texas, and I could argue in the United States. So this kind of opportunity, I've been on this commission for almost 8 years now, and I can guarantee it's time for me to leave. But I love it. But this is the first time we've had this kind of opportunity since I've been on the commission. I'm not saying it hadn't been before. And I think George Bristol and others made the comments, the task force, the master planning that Scott and Carter have decided on and the way and the process to go forward. Is going to be a key part of not only, of course, developing and doing this the right way, but I think hopefully can then put together a template that we can use going forward. You were referring to that, George. Secondly, then the public-private funding, I'm hoping, can create a template not only for acquisition, but that as we talked about, everything from law enforcement to maybe eventually some level of operations and all the other things that go with the parks as we try to find more of these crown jewels and operate them for the future for generations in the state of Texas. And as we know, that'll get more and more, probably become more and more difficult through the standard route of trying to keep going back to the state legislature every 2 years. Because in 8 years I've been here, we've had ups and downs just because of the economy and taxes and politics and all the things that go with that. Somebody said, it's probably going to be another brutal session. So I hope we can also build a template on the financing and funding going forward of not only acquisition, but operations, maintenance, et cetera, law enforcement. So I'm excited about not only what this is creating, but what it'll create for the future. Scott, any other comments that you want to make before we...
Yes, sir. Whoops. Last bit of feedback for the commission has to do with the public comment that we're not able to be here in the wake of the new proposal. You know, we went out around the state and asked folks what they thought, and sometimes what we heard was skepticism about the state bureaucracy and particularly agencies listening to the public. And I heard many times, or several times at least, over the initial proposal that this was a done deal and it didn't matter what people had to say. And I guess what we have heard in the wake of the new proposal is that, well, that maybe isn't so, at least with this agency. And so I wanted you to hear, as the leadership body, that much of the feedback that I have received, particularly since we formulated the new proposal, is, well, you did listen. You know, we did bring the feedback to you. We did make a diligent, sincere effort to go out and listen to what people had to say, and sometimes it was passionate and sometimes it was directed, but at least it was their honest opinion, and we tried to bring that back to you as unfiltered as we could. And so in that vein, we want to give you the last bit of information we have. Once we decided to craft or repackage this proposal to a pure acquisition, we went out once again. We not only put out press releases relative to the new deal, we also sent responses to those several hundred folks that had given us feedback in the first place, and the response was overwhelmingly positive, not just for the new proposal, but for the fact that the commission had listened, the staff had done the right thing and taken to you the feedback that we got from the public. And interestingly enough, in the last 4, 5, or 6 weeks, we've only received about 25 comments in writing. We've received a lot of verbal support. Of the 25 comments, 24 comments, I'm sorry, 20 are in favor and 4 were against in the last few weeks that we've gotten in writing. The 4 that were against, 2 of them didn't think we could adequately control the public, and we've discussed that here today, and our intention is to adequately manage this new property in a way that protects the river. The other 2 mentioned a loss of the sense of wilderness. Once again, I think has to do with the increased public. But 20 are in favor. Some of those in favor, to be very honest, are in favor as long as we do what we say we're going to do. And so they mentioned that in there. And so we expect that this is not going to be a done deal today. If you, ladies and gentlemen, vote to acquire this, from the staff's perspective, it will be a done deal many years from now when we can come back and show you and show the public that we've done what we said we would do. And we will take care of this river. We will manage it well. We will collaborate with the partners that live there and recreate there to make this a better opportunity for Texans out into the future.
Okay. Do you want to read?
I will read the recommendation,
yes,
unless I have questions.
Yes. The questions and comments for Scott. Okay.
The staff recommends to the commission that the executive director is authorized to take all necessary steps to acquire this 17,639 more or less acres on the Devil's River in Val Verde County for addition to the Devil's River State Natural Area, and the commission accepts the donation of funds to be paid by the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation towards this acquisition from the fund donated to the Parks and Wildlife Foundation, including funds donated to the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation solely for the purpose of this acquisition.
Okay. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Commissioner Hughes, second. Commissioner Duggins, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Okay, proposition passes. Congratulations. This is exciting. Yeah. Oh, Scott, thank you, because Scott has done the legwork, and we've made some mistakes along the way, but both Scott and Carter have, particularly in the communications with some neighbors and others, we backed up, and I really appreciate everything that's been done, and what an exciting, as somebody said, Christmas gift to the state, Texas, and the citizens. Let's not forget, remember, they came up with the original $2.7 million that we got the leverage, and we're able to leverage and turn into this wonderful acquisition. So I want to thank everybody. I guess with that, Mr. Smith, this commission has completed its business, and I declare us adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody. Happy